In his run for president, Mayor Rudy Giuliani has showcased his leadership on 9/11 and in the days, weeks, and months that followed. His actions in those days have been widely hailed, but far less understood is how he responded to early concerns about the air quality in Lower Manhattan after the terrorist attacks. WNYC's Andrea Bernstein has the first of two reports.
After the initial shock of the attacks, it took less than 24 hours for reporters to start raising questions.
How about Commissioner Kerr, can you explain to us what the mobilization effort is?
There are concerns about asbestos, and at this point, it does not appear as if there's an undue amount of asbestos in the atmosphere, but those are very preliminary tests.
Very early on, both the city and Federal Environmental Protection Agency had data that showed spikes in the levels of asbestos in Lower Manhattan. The official interpretation was that those levels were anomalies. All information was coming through daily briefings held by Mayor Giuliani. By September 17th, the New York Stock Exchange was reopened in a Lower Manhattan that was visibly cleaner. Not far away, residents who lived close to the World Trade Center were beginning to feel sick.
People were complaining about burning skin, irritated throats, and other respiratory problems.
See Virginia Fields was the Manhattan Borough President. She says symptoms started early.
This turns into a screaming match.
On October 3rd, thousands of Lower Manhattan residents showed up at a meeting at a hotel on Wall Street to hear from government officials.
I live in Selfridge Towers, which is huge, and our building office manager told me to clean up my dust myself, that there's nothing wrong with it.
Joel Neely, head of the City Department of Environmental Protection, was reassuring.
Asbestos is not a problem if it's dust on your furniture or dust on your windowsills. It becomes a problem when it goes from dust on the windowsills to ambient in the air, because that way you can ingest it into your lungs. You could eat asbestos, it wouldn't bother you in the least. But if it gets into your lungs, it's a health hazard.
The city had directed landlords to have apartments professionally cleaned. But at the same time, the city issued guidelines for residents. They were told to clean up using wet mops or vacuums with special filters. And many didn't realize they were handling materials that usually required special protective gear. There was widespread confusion. Community Board 1 Chair Madeline Wills presided over that meeting. She spoke to WNYC in 2002.
It was very difficult for us to communicate directly with the department commissioners, given the fact that Giuliani made it pretty clear that he would make all decisions.
With his police commissioner, Bernard Carrick, at his side, every day Giuliani would chair meetings with relevant officials at Pier 84. Chris Ward, a top Port Authority official at the time, described them.
FEMA was there, EPA was there, FAA was there, all the city, state, paramilitary organizations were there, and it was just to manage the aftermath.
There was another set of daily meetings. On the Friday after 9/11, Congressman Gerald Nadler set up the Ground Zero Elected Officials Task Force. Skeptical of official assurances, they decided to conduct their own air quality tests. Alan Gerson, then a candidate for city council, had worked in a law firm representing victims of asbestos poisoning.
I got in touch with some of the asbestos fiber measurement experts.
One night, city councilwoman Catherine Freed got out her city council police ID and took the scientists to Lower Manhattan. Here's how Gerson describes it.
And we literally snuck them past the barricades.
Their tests found elevated levels of hazardous materials. Nadler submitted the written report to the Giuliani administration, along with a series of memos addressing community concerns. But he says while other issues on the memos were handled immediately, air quality concerns were simply not addressed.
So we know they responded to things in those memos, but they ignored all the stuff in them regarding air pollution.
Same memo.
On air quality, Nadler was seen as a gadfly. Privately, administration officials belittled him. There was a lot of testosterone flying around in those days, one high-level official told us, and health wasn't seen as a high testosterone issue. In the daily meetings, half a dozen people who were there told us the pressure of issues was intense. Federal data seemed reassuring. Here's former Transportation Commissioner Iris Weinshall.
At no time did I hear around that table that, people shouldn't be coming back to Lower Manhattan, that there were issues about the health in Lower Manhattan.
Outside those meetings, Giuliani publicly broadcast that message. Here he is on September 30th, 2001.
There is a lot of questions about the air quality, because there are at times in downtown Manhattan, and then sometimes even further beyond that, a very strong odor. The odor is really just from the fire and the smoke that continues to go on. It is monitored constantly, and it is not in any way dangerous. It is well below any level of problems and any number of ways in which you test it. So,
in the first week of October 2001, environmental lawyer Joel Kupferman organized a press conference.
This report says that there's 2.1% asbestos found in one of the samples. That's more than twice the amount, which is 1%, that the federal government declares is an asbestos problem.
At the press conference, now Lieutenant Governor, then State Senator David Patterson, spoke about the drive to reopen Lower Manhattan.
We certainly commend that, but we cannot engage in that kind of conduct at the possible expense of the individuals who live and work there.
But Chris Ward, the former Port Authority official, maintains there was no slowing down.
I'm not sure that there was the political will or capacity to do that, given this just enormous focus on we can't let this linger. We have to, you know, the picture of the president with the bullhorn was the image that people wanted to see. And when Americans are in that can-do mode, mistakes get made.
By October 26, 2001, the brew of environmental questions hit the cover of the Daily News. Journalist Juan Gonzalez's story, Toxic Zone, raised questions about the levels of benzene, dioxins, and PCBs at the site.
Let's do the Daily News first. The Daily News today had a story about how the zone is a toxic danger, and the reality is that although obviously very, very close to where the work is being done, there are dangers and risks. The reality is far different than the way the article described it. So I thought I would ask.
And to back that up, Giuliani brought forward his health commissioner, Dr. Neil Cohen.
We don't believe that there are any risks here with respect to long-term health effects, and that the occasional uptick in elevated readings that are taken with some of these pollutants, generally those return to acceptable levels.
Cohen says today he and other city officials were, quote, relying on data provided by the experts from the federal government as the basis for their conclusions at the time. Dr. Philip Landrigan of the Mount Sinai School of Medicine has studied those afflicted with World Trade Center-related illnesses, some 20,000 or more by his count. He says it should have been clear the air in Lower Manhattan was not safe.
And I'm not just talking about the cloud, and I'm not just talking about the first 24, 48 hours. For a period of many weeks, the air in Lower Manhattan was not safe. And people who lived and worked there should have been told clearly that the air was not safe. They should have been told clearly to take precautions. And it's my view that if they'd been given clear information, that there would be fewer sick people today.
Former Mayor Rudy Giuliani continues to maintain his actions and decisions at the time were correct. For WNYC, I'm Andrea Bernstein.